when my first album came out, this boy band thing was not like as big as it is now. I hadn't really paid it much attention, so I didn't have a chance to comment on it on my first album. This album, I've seen how ridiculous it is, and it's like, yo, these guys are herbs. You know, this music is corny. So basically people started asking my opinion on it, and I think that it's corny. So, I mean, what else can I say but voice my opinion? I'm sick of it.
The first taste of the new album, The Eminem Show, was the awesome single, Without Me. As with his previous two albums, the lead single was a hip-hop classic. Effectively a sister record to D12's Purple Hills, this was a funky disco hybrid, an infectious slice of hip-hop-inspired insanity. Inevitably, the lyrical focus on this single, and indeed much of the forthcoming album, was fairly insular and self-referential, living as he now did in the rarefied atmosphere of a global celebrity. This was not a new phenomenon, and decades of troubled artists had found inspiration in their bleak personal circumstances. However, this often only lasted for two or three albums. Then they found the financial rewards and privileges that came with successful songwriting deprived them of the very same life experiences that was their musical and lyrical sustenance in the first place. For Eminem, fame had brought no respite from his increasingly complicated and extraordinary life. Since the last album, he'd hardly had a moment's peace, and this fortunately provided him with enough material for the new record. Setting his stall out to reiterate his love of controversy, Without Me berates the sterility of the music scene while he has been away and complains about the censoring authorities that seem to constantly pester him. He also launches abrasive attacks on the millions of white rappers who have sprung up since his own breakthrough and singles out NSYNC's Chris Kirkpatrick, Moby and Limp Bizkit for particular derision. Rather classily, Moby did not rise to the bait and stated instead on his online journal that he was in fact honoured to be name-checked on Shady's new record. He did point out, however, that in his opinion, any artist who has very young kids in his fan base should assume a level of artistic responsibility, which he clearly felt Eminem did not. However, it did not escape Moby's, nor indeed several other observers' attention, that Eminem's complaint that radio won't play his jams seemed a little at odds with the fact that he was on heavy rotation on almost every youth-orientated station in the Western world. The subsequent number one global success of the Without Me single proved that the public's thirst for Eminem was not sated and that his records would sell whatever subject matter he sang about. On a more sinister note, reports in early June 2002 suggested that Eminem had been the subject of various death threats as a result of appearing in the promo video for Without Me dressed in robes as an Osama bin Laden spoof, namely Bin Shady. With the threats denied by his record company, Eminem had taken the matter seriously enough to employ new security staff to safeguard him and his family, including a counter-terrorist specialist. This was a shame, as the video had been intentionally hilarious with other spoofs of the Sally Jesse Raphael show and appearances by Dr. Dre, D12, and the latest Shady Records signing, Oboe Trice. The Eminem Show was a superb final part of the trilogy that plays at length with the Slim Shady alter ego. Contrary to all the rumours that he had gone serious and soft, the album was crammed with confrontational lyrics and controversy-baiting concepts. White America was as sonically hardcore an opening track as you could ask for, an autobiographical contemplation of his career to date and the political and social consequences that have occurred as a result of his rise to fame. Never one to shy away from the big issues, by the middle of the album, Eminem has berated congressional censorship, sung an entire song about sexually transmitted diseases, declared he's been sent to piss on the lawns of the White House, and sworn at both Ms. Cheney and Tipper Gore. Elsewhere on the record, he vents his spleen at all manner of critics, focuses again on his ex-wife, mother and child, describes his duet with Elton John as Russian roulette with both their careers, and even talks of putting the panic-inducing anthrax on a woman's Tampax. The album did not, however, include the much-talked-about collaboration with that other noted enfant terrible, Marilyn Manson. The duo were said to have worked together on a version of Eminem's The Way I Am, the exact song which name-checks Manson as another media and political scapegoat for society's ills. No future release date has been penciled in by Interscope for this joint effort. Musically, the album is more sophisticated than his previous work, and the production is plusher, but the overall effect is still acutely hardcore, albeit with a decidedly rockier feel. Despite everything, the lawsuits, the family wrangles, the touring protests and media frenzy, Eminem had somehow managed to come out with yet another great work. Indeed, some critics suggested it was arguably one of the greatest hip-hop albums ever made. This was a record by a peerless creative force on a truly unique artistic plateau.